Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Fire It Up, your weekly look at the political machine here in the United States. This is your man, Steve. I am your host, and each week we get into what has transpired in our political system here as we continue to process through the major events going on. You're listening to us here on WJMS, and we are deeply grateful for the opportunity they provide us to talk to you each week. So, impeachment. It's been the topic of the country now for many months, and we are fast winding down to the end game. And as predicted and as we've talked about in prior episodes, it looks like that the president is not going to be convicted on his two articles of impeachment. No big surprise there, as things have been moving along partisan lines throughout the whole process. We're going to dig into that as we talk about this over this course of this segment of the show. First things first, I have to say, I am immensely disappointed in our political leadership. I think, you know, you can, if you're a supporter of the president and the administration, you're probably feeling pretty good right now. It looks like your guy's going to dodge the bullet. If you're, you know, on the other side, you're wondering, well, what else could we have done? Well, here's the thing. And if you want to come at me with it, the email address is firedupradio@yahoo.com. Email me, send me your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you think about this. I'm going to lay out what I think and my thoughts on it, and let's have a discussion. So here's the deal. As I said, I think both of our political parties have let the people of this country down. I think the Republicans, you know, played a stall and stonewall campaign to keep as much of the truth information out of the mainstream discussion. And I think the Democrats really played their hand incorrectly. You know, the idea that they wanted to push the impeachment through to get it out of the way before the election was a mistake, frankly. You know, the underlying thing, and you could kind of see the sense of it in the room if you've been paying attention to the impeachment hearings, is that, you know, both sides are playing it as best they could, but they are really kind of kicking the can down the road, saying that the American people are going to decide this for real in November. And that is probably going to end up being, you know, the recourse. Either, you know, the president will be reelected and we will have four more years of the Trump administration, or he will be voted out of office and, you know, a rebuilding process or a reshaping process for our political system will hopefully start to take effect. Either way, I think this whole process has been mishandled, frankly. You know, if you've been paying attention, and I hope that you have been paying attention to what's been going on with the impeachment, you know, obviously, given what I bring to you each week, I've been paying very close attention to what's been going on. I've been listening to the arguments on both sides. And, you know, as I said, that is why I think and why I am disappointed in how our elected officials have comported themselves in this process. I think they have placed party over country, period, full stop. The idea is we are a country of laws, and, you know, no one is above the law. And, you know, our governing documents, our constitution, and the laws that come from that, you know, are at the end of the day what must be supported and upheld by both political parties. And I don't think that's happened. I think, you know, on the Republican side, they had a strategy of attacking the process, attacking the people on the other side that were bringing the case, and talking as little as possible about the actual facts that have come out, the information that has come out, to either provide, you know, factual proof as to why it's not true, or to address what has gone on and, you know, offer the American people a reasonable explanation as to why, you know, these articles were not worthy of impeachment, rather than just saying that they aren't. There was really not a lot of hard proof given by the defense counsel for the president as to why these charges were incorrect. We got a lot of lecture and talk about, you know, the Constitution and the laws and the history and previous impeachments and, you know, what all of those things were, but we really didn't hear a solid discussion, in my opinion, of how, you know, what has been presented as the case against the president actually was not factual. On the Democratic side, we got a very lengthy, detailed, you know, minute-by-minute, play-by-play timeline of what, you know, the president did to earn his articles of impeachment, and, you know, presented, you know, a lot of additional evidence. But I think they came up short when the option of playing hardball a little bit longer to get, you know, the additional information and the additional documents and the additional witnesses out before us, the American people, so that we can weigh in, we can let them know what we think needs to transpire. I don't think that happened effectively. So at the end of the day, you had one side, you know, laying up a case that could have been made stronger had a little bit more resolve been shown to take the time to do the work, you know, to bring the additional people forward before the articles actually came to the Senate. The opportunities were there to go to court to get, you know, the documents. And yes, it would have taken time. But in the meantime, at the end of the day, the most important fact would have come out, and that is that we would know as much as is possible to be known as to what the actual truth of what transpired in, you know, the administration's relationship with Ukraine and election interference and all of the things that have swirled around this impeachment controversy over the last year actually meant. So, you know, we, the people, really got shortchanged in this process. And I think as we look forward, and we're going to talk about, is as a result of this, our democracy has been, in some regards, fundamentally changed. Now, that being said, many of you out there may have a differing opinion. I encourage you and invite you to send me your thoughts on this to firedupradio@yahoo.com, and, you know, let's bring this out in the light. Let's have our own discussion, and, you know, we can try and find what actually is, you know, the real deal here as to how this is going to impact us. But it is definitely going to change how things get done in our government going forward for the balance of this year and into, you know, the next cycle and years coming. So it's clear that, you know, the government that we have emerging out after this impeachment session, and as I said, it looks like a foregone conclusion that, you know, President Trump will not be found guilty on the two articles of impeachment. And, you know, that's going to do several things, you know, to our political system over the coming months and years. Essentially, the balance of power has been shifted in the United States. And by that, I mean our founders created our country, created our government based on three co-equal branches of government: legislative, judicial, and executive, each designed to serve as a check and balance on the other two. What has transpired and what has come out of this impeachment is that the executive branch has now emerged as the more powerful of the three branches of government. And because of that, you know, if, you know, the president or, you know, if the administration decides that they are going to do something that, you know, the other two branches or the American people don't like, there really has been, you know, a weakened impact that the checks and balances of the legislative branch can have over the actions of the executive. It's clear, you know, based on what we know to this point, that the president did not act appropriately. His actions with regard to the Ukrainian situation and the tying of military aid and, you know, a full exercise of United States support for the Ukrainian democracy was tied to a need or a requirement or a want of political favor for the president in his election campaign. Now, you know, as you heard, if you were listening through the arguments, many of the president supporters argued that, yes, while this was not good, it was not an impeachable offense. And had we had more information, you know, and you know, more documents and more facts and more witnesses, that opinion might have been changed. What we are going to see is that as this process concludes, you know, as you know, everybody knows, you know, former advisor to the president John Bolton's book will be coming out in about 6 weeks, and you know, that's going to be a huge trove of information on what went on inside the White House during this process. We may come to find out on the other end of that there was much more to what transpired and what was done that actually would have made this an impeachable offense, but you know, we will already have solved that question prior to that coming out. Many senators, as I've said, don't think that what the president did was actually right. However, they were unwilling to hold him to account for it. And, you know, this is in part because the pressure that was brought by the Republican Party and, you know, the leader in the Senate and the president himself in terms of pressure applied, you know, really held them into maintaining a lockstep attitude toward, you know, what had been done. On the Democratic side, while I give them credit, they did an admirable job of presenting, you know, the facts that they had available to them, the timeline or chronology of what happened. They painted a pretty believable picture of what transpired in the relationship with Ukraine. I think it would have been better, again, in my opinion, I think it would have been better if they had taken the additional time to seek to get more information, more fact witnesses out there, more people with firsthand knowledge, you know, the people that were working inside that inner circle, so that we could have had an understanding of what really was transpiring, what the discussions were, who was telling the president, you know, go or no go, what those arguments were, and so forth. You know, as a result, you know, we now have, as I said, an executive branch that believes that, you know, pretty much as Trump has said in the past, that he can do whatever he wants and, you know, no one can hold him to account for it. Now, whether or not that proves out to be factual will remain to be seen. You know, can he be brought up on a new set of impeachment charges for future violations? Yes, absolutely. Will it work any better than this one? There's the question. You know, if the majority in the Senate, you know, and the majority in the House cannot come to an agreement that, you know, this is absolutely over the line and absolutely needs to be addressed, then we're going to continue to have this finger pointing with no consequence and no action, and our democracy will continue to be, you know, eroded and degraded from the standpoint of what the Constitution and what our laws actually mean. What's clear from the impeachment, as I said, is that the presidency has risen above the other branches of government. And you know, one of the key points, if you were listening to the closing arguments, Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz, got up and gave a very lengthy speech about the Constitution and powers of the presidency and, you know, what can and cannot be done by the president. And his overriding conclusion was that if the president believes that what he is doing is in the president's best interest, then it is by default in the best interest of the country. And there's a fundamental disconnect there. The way our elected officials are supposed to operate is that, you know, and think about it, when they are sworn in, they don't swear an oath to themselves. They don't swear an oath to their party. They swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And basically, that means putting the needs of the country above the needs of party and above the needs of self. Clearly, you know, in if you have read the documents, if you followed all of the arguments across the months, clearly this was not the case in the handling of the Ukraine situation. And the overall, you know, allegations of, you know, reaching out by the administration to foreign powers to get assistance and leverage with the upcoming election that's going to be happening in November of this year. And while some of you might argue that, you know, this is not a big problem, let me put this hypothetical in front of you. Say, for sake of an argument, that the president has this new power until a new president, you know, and it could be Republican or it could be Democrat, does something and needs to be checked. You know, if you know, for example, and I'm not, you know, picking one over the other, but for the sake of argument, if Bernie Sanders were elected and used, you know, the executive power and the executive authority that was seized by Trump to implement, you know, some of the programs that many think are extremely controversial that he has, and go against, you know, what America is about, he could do this via, you know, executive order. He could do this via, you know, the mechanisms now in place to strong arm the legislature into getting the bidding of the president done. And, you know, there would be little, if any, account, check, or balance on what he's doing in terms of how it lines up with our Constitution and our laws. Basically, you know, Donald Trump said when he was campaigning for president, you know, that he believed he could stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and, you know, not lose any political support. Well, I think this impeachment has proven that fact to be somewhat true, because clearly here there were things done that were inappropriate, but the Senate lacked the political will to place our country ahead of party and ahead of, you know, any supposed loyalty to President Trump in order to allow him to do what he has done. So, you know, our overall democracy here has suffered a pretty big blow. You know, the idea of this country and the idea of the co-equal branches of government were based in the fact that our founding fathers feared what was called an imperial president, a president who would accumulate more power to his or herself than, you know, than is reasonable, and in effect become a king or queen here in America. And, you know, we, through this impeachment, in my opinion, we have moved a giant step in that direction. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to have another situation where, you know, we have, you know, foreign interference in an election. I think hopefully we have learned our lesson from the 2016 election and what we have learned from the investigations of that, to have things in place that will prevent that from happening in the future. However, am I 100% confident of that? No. I think, you know, especially given the tendencies of the current president, I think the likelihood that he will cross that line again is very real. And that is something that we as citizens of this country should be incredibly concerned about. I think we have now seen a standpoint where even if, you know, the House and the Senate believe that the actions of the president or any president were wrong under our laws, the question now becomes, yes, it was wrong, but is it impeachable? That, to me, is a dangerous slope to start sliding down. If we are going to be looking at whether or not we can actually, you know, impeach and place that check against, you know, the executive branch as a first thought rather than an end result of what we find out to be wrongdoing, then, you know, we are weakening our legal system dramatically. And many senators said, as they were interviewed during the course of this past week, that, you know, they agreed that what the president did was not proper, but the question they came back to was, is it impeachable? Well, the only way you find out if it's impeachable is if you do the impeachment. You know, the clear message that the founders sent down to us 230 years ago was that if you believe that the president has exceeded his authority, has committed a crime, you know, and you know, is otherwise unworthy of holding that office, then your duty to the country is to proceed with the impeachment process. Not your duty to your party, not your duty to, you know, to the office of the presidency, your duty under law, to the oath you swore to uphold and defend the Constitution, requires you to take that action. And our leadership, our elected leaders, fell short of that. Both sides. Both sides fell short of that oath to support and defend the Constitution above all else by moving into a partisan-based diatribe with either side saying, you did this, no you didn't, yes you did, da 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 da. All right, and, you know, it just creates the problem in our country where, you know, it doesn't become a question of, is what I am doing right or wrong? It becomes and moves toward the question of, with what I am doing, can I be punished for this? You know, that at the end of the day should not be the be-all end-all of what constrains our elected officials from doing what we put them in office to do. They need to understand that they have sworn an oath, that they have taken a solemn vow, that they are going to defend our country. They are going to defend the laws of this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the way the oath reads. It doesn't say, you know, defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, unless it's more in my interest than the country's. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, we need to have elected leadership in place that understands that that is the guiding principle of what makes our democracy work, that we are a country of law and that no one is above the law. You know, and that has been severely damaged. And only time will tell as, you know, what happens with future presidents of either party who decide on their own that they are going to do something that is beyond the interest of our laws, beyond the the responsibilities to the oath they swear, and, you know, do it because it's important to them personally. And that's not how our country is supposed to work. And let me pile a couple of more logs on this fire. As I said, many of the Republicans said in both public and private comments that what they think that the president did was not appropriate, but it was not impeachable. They've also said that the ultimate arbiter of whether or not the president did anything wrong will be the American people, you know, in the electoral process that happens in November. Well, the Constitution doesn't actually give that duty directly to the people. Yes, we will all go to the polls. That is, we will all go to the polls and vote, people, and, you know, either vote in support of our president or against our president. But the ultimate arbiter of who will take that oath of office and take over occupancy of the White House is handled by the Electoral College. So even though the popular vote will tell us who the most people voted for, as it happened in the 2016 election, the actual transfer of power occurs through the Electoral College process. And, you know, that, you know, leaves two basic, you know, principles at the end of the day. Either, you know, you acquit a president of, you know, articles of impeachment, you know, or remove him or her from office. Some interesting comments around this came out as we went through this week. Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, gave the really head-snapping assessment that, you know, he assumed that all of the allegations were true, but still is voted to acquit President Trump. And his reason was that he felt that it would further divide the country. Further divide the country. When is it ever that a fight worth fighting is avoided because it's going to be work to fight the fight? We, you know, America has gotten through much worse situations than this. You know, we have fought an internal civil war over principles of right and wrong. Now we have come to the point where simply because it's going to create an uncomfortable situation in our country, it is something that we should not do. We need to move back to being a country of right and wrong. This notion of finding cover under these, you know, soft arguments really is something that we need to, you know, sit up, take notice of, and recognize that, you know, our elected officials are not doing their legal job, and they're not doing the job that we sent them there to do. On the Democratic side, you know, whatever it takes to gather the information to present that irrefutable case should have been done. On the Republican side, if you believe that what the president did was wrong, then, you know, he or she needs to be removed from office. If, you know, there is a risk of some presumed political divide that this is going to create, well, that is part of the price that would need to be paid in order for us to remain a nation of law and a nation of right and wrong. You know, our children and our grandchildren are going to look back at this period of time and they are going to wonder, what were we thinking? You know, especially as, you know, all this information comes out and all of the facts that come out on these events over time come to light, and we've one day down the road X number of years, you know, have a more full picture of the truth and we'll look back and go, why did we jump to that judgment? Why did we go so fast? Why did we not, you know, take the political risk, Mr. and Ms. elected official? Why did you not stand on the principles of democracy, stand on your oath to defend the Constitution. Right, wrong, and let the chips fall where the chips fall. And you need look no further back than how history has looked at prior impeachments. In particular, I'm talking about the Nixon impeachment and Watergate. We didn't learn till, you know, decades later, when, you know, transcripts of tapes were released and the actual audio of the tapes were released, just what was being discussed and considered and what was going on in that Oval Office of Richard Nixon during the Watergate scandal. You know, we had ideas at the time of what we believed happened, but the gift of time gave us a chance to get much more of the factual picture painted, and we got to find out exactly how bad things were. You know, what was going on? What was he trying to do? What laws was he going around, over, under, or through in order to achieve his political interest? You know, so, you know, we're going to have time to go through before the, you know, Trump, Russia, Ukraine, you know, whatever other things transpire out of this happen. You know, yes, John Bolton's book comes out in 6 weeks. Yes, that will open up more windows and shed more light on what we now know and what we'll know in the future. But it is going to take many years before we see the full impact of what was attempted here and what happened. Now, can we do something to short circuit that? Unfortunately, right now in real time, no, not really. You know, we are going to have to go through this. We are going to have to deal with the changes in the balance of power in our government through our government, through our laws, through our Constitution, through the court system, to try and move this back into something that more closely resembles what the founders intended for our government to be. We cannot continue, or we should not continue to allow, you know, partisan politics, you know, and personal self-interest be a guiding principle into how the United States of America lives up to its laws. We have got to make changes on that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in the ending segment, our call to action segment. But, you know, we have to realize that based on what has transpired, our democracy has been changed. And until we put in the work and take the time and do the effort to correct the changes we don't like, you know, we're going to have to, you know, to live and work and do what we can do to make it better. At the end of the day, though, it boils down to this, in my opinion. I think the American people across the board, irregardless of party affiliation, irregardless of where you stand on, you know, the issues that we debate in the current course of time, we have to come back to the fundamental question of what is the law, what is right, and what is wrong. Now, if laws are incorrect, we have mechanisms in place to change them. It's called, you know, the electoral process. It's called the political process. It's called reaching out and communicating with our elected officials from the national level down to the local level and exercising through the power of the ballot our rights to have a government that is decided by the people. You know, and that seems also, as another point, we hear all the time, and we've heard nothing but reports from the news media outlets across the board about, you know, what the American people think, you know, of the impeachment process and what, you know, they think of the job that the administration is doing or that Congress is doing and so forth. realize that, you know, these are snapshots of a sample of America, but overwhelming majorities supported getting more witnesses into the impeachment process and getting more documents in. You know, clearly, in when I say overwhelming, most polls put it at about 70% of the American people thought that there should be more fact witnesses and more documents introduced into the impeachment process, even if that meant it would take more time to get through the impeachment process. The American people seem to understand the concept that getting to do it right sometimes takes longer, and that is a price they are willing to accept in order to get to the truth. Now, given that 70% of the people think that, you know, more witnesses and more documents should have been invited, the question is raised to why this wasn't made so by the people who are placed into our, you know, government, our leadership positions by those same people exercising their right to vote. So if you are voted in by the American people and 70% of those people think you ought to do X and you instead decide to do A, you know, you're basically telling the people that put you in office that you know what's best for them better than they do. And we as American citizens with a, you know, a constitutional democracy should be very concerned about that. You know, it should be, you know, all things good in a perfect world, that if a majority of the American people believe that something needs to be done about something, that our elected officials would take those orders and march to get that done. You know, as I said before in prior shows, you know, we voted for them. We put them into office. They did not put us into the citizenship. You know, they work for us. We do not work for them. You know, it really speaks to where we are as a country. It really speaks to, you know, what it means for our legal system, for our system of laws, for our checks and balances, when elected officials believe that they can ignore the voice of the people and do what is in their political or partisan interest, you know, even if, you know, they believe that, you know, or they think that the will of the people runs contrary to what the needs of the country are. You know, at a minimum, if that disagreement exists, then there needs to be a discussion about it. There needs to be questions posed by the electorate to the elected. There needs to be explanations given as to why their course of action is the better course of action to take, rather than what we, the American people, believe is the course of action we should take. We should be having that dialogue and discussion, and typically we don't. You know, and the list is long. As I said, 70% of the people thought that there should be more, you know, fact witnesses and documents in the impeachment trial. 60+% of the American people across the board believe that more reasonable gun control legislation is required. You know, 75% of the American people believe that detaining families and separating children from their families at the border was wrong and was not what America is about. Yet they were all done. They were done. You know, we still do not have common sense gun control measures as a national policy across this country. Now, states have taken up the mantle. There, many states have put in place some you know, common sense, you know, checks and balances on gun ownership in this country, and kudos to them for doing it. But, you know, at the national level, you know, our political system is not responding to the will of the American people. And that's a problem. And it's a problem we're going to have to address. And, you know, we're going to have to commit as American citizens that we are going to expend whatever energy it takes and whatever amount of time it's going to take to bring our system back to a point where it is the people who determine the course of action, you know, in common unity, rather than, you know, it is the will of, you know, a political few or a, you know, a lobbyist group or, you know, whoever that is dictating how our country is going to be run and how we are going to be governed. As long as a process can be determined by a few or by an elite group rather than by the masses of American people, then we are going to be victims of, you know, the whim of a few. So what are our options? Well, in my opinion, I think, you know, we have three basic choices. We can continue to, you know, do nothing and let, you know, the system work its way through and take it on faith that it will all work out, you know, for the better, you know, in the end. Or we can, you know, oppose it, work to change it, and, you know, commit to the time it's going to take in order to do what needs to be done in order to give us back a government of the people, or we can support what's going on. And, you know, real deal is it you know, it could get worse. You know, give you an example. Over the past weekend, the administration has walked away from a ban on, you know, using landmines as part of a war strategy. And, you know, you only need search back to, you know, like Princess Diana and landmines to get that whole argument, and see why 160 countries in the world voted to ban landmines as, you know, a weapon of destruction, you know, in wartime. You know, it is a slippery slope. And if, you know, we are going to, you know, try and return our country to its rightful position of leadership in the world from both a, you know, an economic and, you know, a military and a moral standpoint, more importantly, then we are going to have to get our elected officials to do things differently. You know, so, you know, first things first, and you know, if you're a Republican, you need to ask yourself a hard question and say, do I believe that even though I agree with the political positions of my candidate, that they are doing what is best for our country overall, for our children and our grandchildren? And if the answer to that is no, then you need to find a Republican candidate or a Republican elected official who will, you know, do that. As I've said many times, you know, we need to make sure that the people we put in office think the way we think. If you're a Democrat, then you need to, you know, work harder to get candidates and elected officials who will also put the needs of the country first and not just, you know, political gain or whether or not it means they won't get reelected as a priority. You know, we really need to bring it to those black and white choices of what is right for our country over what is, you know, right or best for, you know, an individual holding an elected office. If we choose to do nothing, then we will continue to get what we have seen transpire. And, you know, the next president and the president after that and the Congress after that and the, you know, the Senate after that and so forth will continue to roll us down this slippery slope and erode America's position in the world, as well as our own sense of being a country of right and wrong and laws. So, you know, it comes back to what, you know, I say in this show all the time is we need to be informed, we need to be, you know, educated, we need to dig deeper, we need to dig wider, we need to, you know, force our elected officials to do what we sent them to office to do, to put our priorities, the priorities of the American people, all of the American people, ahead of, you know, base political or you know, party gain or whatever. You know, if it's not right for America, then it is something that we should not do. All right. So, you know, it's, you know, it's in our court. I think this impeachment has taught us some very valuable lessons. Now will remain to be seen whether we take what we have learned from this and move to make that the pivot point to creating, you know, the America that our founders intended and the America that deserves its position at the top of the pyramid in terms of leadership in the world, and, you know, and do what we believe is the right and correct and legal thing to do. You know, if we fall into this cycle of, you know, saying, well, if I vote this way or if I do this, you know, it's going to cost me my seat in the Senate or my seat in the House, or it's going to cost me the governorship or whatever, and not have it be, if I do this, this is not in the best interest of America, then, you know, we have a much bigger problem that we are going to face. And at the end of the day, and again, I welcome and encourage send me email, you know, firedupradio@yahoo.com. Give me your thoughts. Let's have a discussion about this. You know, let's talk about how we move our country into, you know, a better position, and how we make sure that, you know, everyone in this country gets that equal shot. So that's my topic for this week, and it's been a long one. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll conclude with our call to action segment. Got a couple of items that we want to go through. You're listening to Fire It Up. This is Steve. You're on WJMSradio.com. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back after this break.
Fighting
And thank you for joining us back. We had a lengthy topic on the impeachment, but I would be remiss if I didn't include, you know, in our call to action segment, some of the things that are still out there that we need to be focused on. Obviously, number one, you know, in light of what we've learned over the last couple of weeks, the importance of making sure that all of us are registered, prepared, and intend to get out and exercise our right to vote is of paramount importance. So whatever you need to do, reach out, go to vote.org, and find out where you need to register. If you're not registered, what process you need to follow, what documents you need, etc. And then make sure that on election day, whether it's the local elections that are going to occur across the year or the national election in November, that you get out and exercise that vote. Whichever party you're part of, it is important for you to make sure that your voice through that vote gets heard. The second point that I want to bring up in this segment is I want to talk a little bit about the census that's coming up. I've mentioned in the past few episodes, 2020 is a census year. Every household in America will be receiving a mailer of the census, and it is vitally important for our country that census document be completed for every resident of your household, whether or not, you know, they are, you know, whatever party they're from, you know, old, young, you need to make sure that every man, woman, and child in America gets counted. This is extremely important because this goes to determine things, not only, as I've talked about in the past, about the redistricting and reapportionment of congressional seats for, you know, each state, but it also goes into decisions that are made about whether or not new schools need to be built because, you know, more children now live in a certain district than did 10 years ago, or whether or not, you know, more dollars need to be spent on highway and infrastructure projects because, you know, areas of the country have grown economically and there's more traffic and more pressure on our highway systems. It goes to, you know, determining healthcare. What healthcare priorities are needed in your area? Well, that information comes from what they collect about you from the census, excuse me. And, you know, finally, it's important that we get an accurate count so that we have an accurate representation of who is in this country. Now, the census is a blind document. It is not tied to you as an individual in terms of, you know, who you are, you know, your you know, identifying information, your personal data. It is a head count. It's attendance. It, you know, just like in school, they took a head count of how many people were in class that day. This is what the census does. It takes a count of who and how many people live in our country every 10 years. So please do not ignore the census. Please make sure that you get it filled out. Please make sure that your family and your friends and your circle get their census forms filled out. You can do it through the mailer. You can go online at 2020census.gov. They give you the options of 12 different languages. There's also options for people who are hearing impaired. There are all kinds of mechanisms for the census to get completed, and we need, as citizens, to make sure that we get that done. And lastly, you know, in light of, you know, what I've talked about in this episode, you know, if ever there was an issue that spoke to, you know, being informed and finding out the truth, and, you know, paying attention and communicating with our elected officials locally as well as nationally, you know, this impeachment trial has illustrated that point. If our elected officials do not believe that we are paying attention, that we are not keeping an eye on them, that we are not communicating to them and making our wishes known, then they will do what they think, or what the lobbyists think, or what, you know, the money thinks is the best thing for America, which is not necessarily going to line up with what we think the best things for our country are. So, you know, it's a perfect example of what we always talk about here on this show, about being informed, about being educated, about digging deeper and digging wider and finding out what is important to us, and then taking the next action steps to make that happen through our political process. You know, and believe me, if you are communicating, you know, if you've got, you know, people, you know, hundreds of people speaking to your mayor, or thousands of people speaking to your state representatives or your state senators or your governor, or, you know, millions of people speaking to our elected officials in Washington, those voices count and they are heard. So, you know, it is up to us to make sure that we do everything we can to return our country to a country of right and wrong, and a country of laws, and a country that is governed by the founding documents that we live by, our Constitution, and the laws that are based on it. So, you know, with that being said, we'll wrap up this week's show. I want to thank you for listening. Again, if you want to leave comment, you want to send me a comment, the email address is firedupradio, that's one word, at yahoo.com. You can at me on Twitter at R, the letter U, fired up. Or you can check into the Facebook page we have, which is facebook.com/firedupradio. All ways for you to get information from our show and give information to our show. So thanks again for listening. Thanks to WJMSradio.com for hosting. We greatly appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. This is Steve. You're listening to Fired Up Radio. We'll see you in 7 days.